Welcome back to the War Room. I'm here with Karsten, and it is finally that time. It's time to talk about them F1 cars, baby. We've been talking about Supercross the last couple of months, weeks. And honestly, for whatever reason, I know it's been a couple of months, but it feels like it's only been a couple of weeks, really, since we've had F1 to talk about.
It doesn't feel like it's been that long. I feel like there's been a lot of chatter on Twitter to keep things kind of entertaining. So
that's an understatement. If there ever was one, because it's been, it's been kind of the wildest F1 off season in a long time, I would say. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's definitely up there. That's for sure. So yeah, a lot to go at and talk about in regards to the off season for F1. So the major moves that were made there, and then also the livery reveals, the first day of testing today. We'll kind of lightly go over that towards the end of this episode. So going to be bouncing around a number of topics to get ready for the season that is less than 2 weeks away at this point. That's crazy to think. And I think the obvious, the first thing to talk about was just, little insignificant driver change for 2025 that went on. You wouldn't happen to know what that is, right? I mean, I don't think it was any kind of groundbreaking story.
I don't even think I heard anything. There must not be anything that exciting going on there. What could it possibly be?
I heard something about this guy named Lewis going to some Italian automobile manufacturer called Ferrari.
Italian?
Yeah.
Like a red sports car kind of?
Well, the European is called more of a scarlet than a red, but yes.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe that was a disconnect,
Okay.
Us Americans, we just don't understand motorsport to be able to call something scarlet or red or...
Right.
It
just looked kind of fast to me. Not last season, but, at times. Just a fast
2022.
Car.
Yeah, 2022.
Not too bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's quite interesting, and I'm very excited for that. What mm-hmm. what do you think? Who do you think is it's a little early to say, but who do you think is in a better spot, Ferrari or Mercedes, if that happens?
That's a question I haven't even necessarily thought about too much. Yes, I've thought about it, but
I was gonna say the immediate thought would be Ferrari,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, it's not like Hamilton's been doing that well for Mercedes as of late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I think Hamilton has still been very, very consistent and still had, with the car he's had, he's still done a good job. Has it always been fantastic and like legendary? Is he getting 115% out of the car and making it do things it's not supposed to do? I wouldn't say that. There's sometimes he shows some excellence, but I think really he is a guy that can still get 100% out of the car of what's possible or really, really close to it, which more than half of the current drivers on the grid can't say that. So that's what, he is consistently right there. Always a threat for podiums, even with the car he's had, occasionally a threat for a win in some areas, but hasn't necessarily converted too often these last couple years. But yeah, I think Ferrari gets a guy to help them kind of be more in play for race wins if they continue to develop their car. I see a short-term downfall of Mercedes with some of the patterns we've been seeing over the last couple of years, right? Not only is Lewis Hamilton their all-time winningest driver and won 7 of their 8 championships over the last 10 years, he's taking off. They spent 2 years developing a car off of a zero side pod design and vertical inlets that they continue to develop based off of data that was actually miscalculated and found out 2 years later, then scrapped it and went to traditional side pods halfway through last season or 3 or 4 races in the last season. So the idea that they spent so long developing something that wasn't going to work, obviously that's a major setback for them. mainly long term. Obviously, they're still Mercedes. They can, they have the facilities to bounce back pretty quickly if they are able to get all the right engineers involved. You also have to worry about certain people going with Lewis to Ferrari, just because they want to work with him. Obviously, there's a lot of rules against, you know, drivers purging key staff members from certain teams. But I mean, look, there's only so much you can do in regards to monitoring official communications, right? I mean, people can just be on the same, you know, wavelength as, oh, well, he's going there. Okay, here's my 2 weeks notice. I'm going where he's going. He doesn't have to tell me. Mm-hmm. I'm going where he's going. You know, I don't necessarily know who wins right now, but I think for the long term, to figure out if both can win, I think Ferrari is going to win off of this in regards to not necessarily maybe winning races immediately, but I think it's a win for them to get Lewis Hamilton. I think Carlos Sainz would have been a great re-sign as well, especially meant it wouldn't have been as expensive as Lewis Hamilton. However, the revenue they're going to generate from Lewis Hamilton being in Ferrari is going to be absolutely ridiculous. So it's going to, he's going to kind of
both.
Yeah.
Both
he's going to pay merch, dude. It's going to be ridiculous. So,
yeah.
But I just think Carlos really has shown a lot of development, and I still don't feel like Carlos has reached his fullest potential. So maybe the way Mercedes wins is they either take Carlos for a 1 or 2 year deal, or they go and get someone else that's very experienced for 2025 on a multi-year deal. There's talks about them going after Alonso if he isn't satisfied with the last year of his Aston Martin deal, if they don't go in the right direction, which I think Aston Martin are in a good position. I don't see it going downhill necessarily. So I'm not sure if that's going to happen. There's also all kinds of rumors about Vettel trying to come back into the sport. I have no idea. So I don't know what they would do. Honestly, I think it'd be great if they brought back Mick Schumacher. I don't know if that's the best performance deal for them. I think Mick has a lot of potential. Once again, similar to Sainz, we haven't seen the best of him. We also saw him in a way worse race car than what he'd be in that Mercedes. So, you know, it would be definitely the feel-good story of the year if he got back in the grid. So honestly, with complete bias involved in this, I would love to see Mercedes bring in Mick Schumacher, especially with the connection of his dad racing there during the program's infancy. So it'd be really cool to see. But anywho, I think Ferrari absolutely wins out of this. Time will only tell, along with decision making, of course, if Mercedes can turn this into a win, because now they've ripped the band-aid off. They knew this was coming. They knew Lewis was probably going to, I mean, I think Toto's on record as saying, like, hey, we knew he was going to be done within the next 2 years. The question is, was it next year or was it 2026 when the new regs come in? And maybe they didn't know if done meant done with them or done with the sport. They probably assumed done with the sport. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in 25 when this stuff kicks off, because we have to remember, this is only the first domino to fall. More than half the grid has their contracts expiring after this season. So you want to talk about a silly season. We are in for, like, if the past couple years was silly season, like the middle of this season of silly season and the off season, potentially when there's still some free agents out there, it's going to look like a comedy show. It's going to be like stand-up. If the last couple of seasons were silly season, this is stand-up comedy at this point. It's full-on calculated, like, and just bananas. It's going to be wild. So I'm enjoying the carnage of Mercedes fans right now, especially those that are all of a sudden massive Ferrari fans after bashing Ferrari for the last 10 years from being Lewis Hamilton fans. So I have a little bit of newfound respect to the Mercedes fans that are still left, the few, the proud. Well, of course, after the season, of course, because they're still gonna wear Merc merch right now, but they have that Ferrari merch on layaway. Oh,
it's waiting. It's already printed up.
Yep. You know, they're doing the 4 installment payments, so it looks like it's gonna come in later. You know, and then it's ready for it's happening. So,
yeah.
Anywho, don't be surprised if you see Silverstone or Belgium full of a bunch of way more Ferrari fans than usual. So.
Oh yeah, it kind of reminds me of whenever Tom Brady went to the Bucks, and all those Patriots fans just somehow had all this Tampa Bay gear all of a sudden, just out of nowhere.
A lot of people dropping their bagels and, you know, picking up some bass fish and
some gator nuggets,
cocktails. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what a signature food would be or drink would be for Miami, other than just doing a lot of both, eating and drinking. But all of a sudden, not everyone's a wannabe Bostonian anymore. So
So speaking of potentially Mick Schumacher. This is a bit of a stretch here, but Mick Schumacher, Andretti.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
We got there. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Okay.
We got there.
I'll trust the science on that one.
And silly season with drivers going to new teams coming in potentially, new teams maybe not coming.
Maybe not coming.
Looks like they're not coming.
For now, for the short term. Okay. Yeah. So for those that don't know, if you heard, I mean, once again, it's just like if Malcolm Stewart crashed in a main event, if you heard any local news reports in the Houston area of remotes being thrown or cups being thrown, excessive yelling and screaming, that was me. Because Formula One management declined Andretti's F1 bid for 2025/2026 based off of, well, the best way I can put it is a bunch of bull jive. I mean, there's no way around it. They put out this super long document saying, oh, well, we just don't think they're going to be competitive enough. And also, they're talking about coming in 2025, which is kind of stupid because, you know, then they have to make a car for the old regulations and then turn around the next year and make the car for the new regulations. And we just don't see a new team being able to do that. Also, we reached out to these guys asking them to come and present their bid in person in front of our CEO, and they never responded. Along with all this other crap, like, we believe that we'll bring more value to their team than their team will bring more value to the sport. It's all just a bunch of bull jive, dude. There's no way around it. I mean, look, going point by point, you're talking about a team that's not going to be competitive. Let's give these clowns a little bit of an education. Okay, in regards to what the Andretti name means. Mario Andretti, I believe, listeners, Carson, I mean, if you want to fact check it, I believe Mario Andretti is the last American to win an F1 World Championship. But more importantly, he has an F1 World Championship. Furthermore, in the Andretti name, you have 12 F1 wins, 18 F1 pole positions, 20 F1 podiums. On the IndyCar side of things, you have 6 Indy 500 wins. 1 Daytona 500 win, 9 IndyCar titles, championships, 4 IndyCar Lights titles, 2 Daytona 24-hour overall wins, 3 Sebring 12-hour wins, 1 Pikes Peak win, 3 NASCAR wins, 1 Le Mans 24-hour class win, 350-plus race wins in various series as individuals and team owners. Don't forget that I believe they have multiple championship, at least one championship or multiple race wins in Formula E as well. Don't forget that either. So look, if you're talking about being competitive, I mean, these guys, I didn't even talk about the fact they race Extreme E as well. So they literally do everything. They've won at pretty much everything they've put their mind to. They've had the correct amount of support to be successful from the start of all of these series. You can't say they're not going to be competitive. I mean, at least in the long term, right? We've seen any kind of new team has had their struggles off the bat. But if you're talking about a legacy motorsport name, that is a team that is solely, like, its beating heart is motorsport and being competitive and not just being an advertising scheme. Andretti is literally the sole embodiment of that for America, right? So point number one, completely just blown apart. I mean, the stats speak for themselves, right? Their second point of what was the second point I made? Help me out here. They said that they were trying to join in 2025, right? False.
Too soon.
Andretti comes out and responds, obviously it's Andretti Global making an official statement saying, no, like when we originally started this application freaking 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever, 2025 was pitched by you guys. And essentially, the only reason 2025 was thought of was because of the fact it started 3 years ago. And the difficulty of the transition between the two regulations wasn't really known at the time. But it's been evident over the last year that we've been solely preparing for a 2026 entry, and we've communicated that as such. So that's shot down. The third one being that they said that they tried to contact Andretti Global to come and present their bid. And it's not necessarily a lie, but when you have one of your lower ranking officials send the email to Michael Andretti, Mario Andretti's son, who's actually running the whole show here, that's not how you do it, right? They had some lower ranking official within that Formula One management that sent the email directly to Michael Andretti, and it went to his spam. So when they heard this on their official, you know, document or whatever, right? The Andretti team goes and they're purging the email, looking for anything, looking in spam, looking in junk, everything. They find it there because it wasn't the CEO, the guy who's saying, "Well, I tried to reach out to them and schedule this meeting." No, you had your freaking intern while he was making a freaking cup of coffee in the back say, "Hey, oh, by the way, would you mind contacting these idiots that make really, really good race winning cars that are trying to, you know, make a multi-million-dollar deal to enter our sport? Do you mind asking them if they just want to come over here and, you know, present their whole deal? Yeah, it's not that important. Just send an email. You know, don't even flag it as important or put urgent on it. You know, it's not that important. Just do everything you can to make sure this goes in the spam folder. So that way we can say, oh, we emailed you, but let's do everything we can to decrease the possibility of it actually showing up and then showing up here. Because that's the last thing we want, right? I mean, it's just complete ridiculousness, right? And here's the other thing. In regards to the last point of them bringing not enough value to the sport and that Formula One bring more value to them, follow the money. That's where your answer is, okay? Look, we are on the Formula One just put on a trademark application or whatever it's called, copyright application, whatever it is, for a fourth U.S. Grand Prix. Right, it's going to be looks like they're setting it up for Chicago as a street circuit, similar to what NASCAR did, but on a more grander scale, and not just a figure eight kind of looking track. So it looks like a fourth U.S. Grand Prix is coming. F1 is continuing to hit the U.S. market hard, right? But when they do all of this, right, the tickets for these races in America are just ridiculous. There's going to be four of them, but then while you have that, and we are thankful we get more races in our area to actually go to that are more accessible, despite the prices, right? Still nice to at least have that as something that's doable. When you take what basically embodies the entire heart of American motorsport in the Andretti name, not to mention an Andretti team that's going to be bringing in Cadillac in 2028, which is known for a while now, and has been officially announced by both parties as an engine provider. They're bringing in General Motors as a new manufacturer, OEM to the sport, you know, if you will. Look, when you have all of this other stuff with the races and all this other fan experiences stuff, purging money from to get as much revenue from this market as you can, and then you slap us in the face by rejecting literally what embodies American motorsports. It's basically just Formula One management saying, yeah, we just want American money. We don't want American talent, competition, technology, or anything else, right? Because here's the other thing that you have to keep in mind. Andretti's Formula One factory that they've already made and they're already building a car in is in America, right? So imagine once they enter, you finally have a factory that's in North America, right? That could, and now you have potentially four tracks, two of them kind of more temporary, but you still have COTA. You still have some other tracks you can go test at. Probably the Indy Road Course could be a decent place to test that. But more importantly, you finally have kind of a home base where American drivers that want to be F1 drivers can enter and have a home base that's actually in North America. I mean, think about Jack, like someone like Jack Crawford right now, a guy who's in F2, right? Just to get to F2, the guy has had to basically, you know, once he was done racing Legends cars and got into open wheel racing, he's been living in Europe since he was like 12, like just leaving his family and everything behind to chase the dream, right? Once you open up this gate for F1, for, you know, American F1 drivers, where you have an F1 team that its factory is able to operate within North America for the most part, I mean, that just opens up a lot more doors, and it opens the door for a lot more American F1 drivers to enter the sport, not to mention Andretti's connections and his driver pool he gets to use for himself. People like Colton Herta that are young talents that could potentially earn a super license and come in. The names that he could pull from his talent pool are endless, to be quite honest with you. So this would have been a big door for them to open if they reconsider. Now, have we heard any more squabbling about since Andretti responded to the Formula Management's bid decline? Well, we haven't heard anything more back and forth between the two. We have seen the FIA kind of say, hey, we're aware of the decision that F1 Management made, and we're, you know, looking into it. It's just some corporate, you know, garbage, you know.
Looking into it is usually means they're not going to do anything.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much. So I don't know what's going to go on. But what I did hear as a part of their initial statement is that they're more open to their 2028 bid when they're bringing in Cadillac/GM with them. That would kind of solve that whole bring more value to the sport than the other way around. Look, I think there's a decent chance this could happen in 2028, but I think it needs to be in 2026 when the new regulations happen. Otherwise, they're coming into
that makes the most sense.
on the back. Yeah. If you throw them in 2028, they're coming on the back foot, right?
Yeah.
So, anywho, I look, if you look at all the other ways that these new teams have come through, literally every single new team, quote unquote, new team, from the last pretty much 10 years has literally just been the constant recyclement of failing F1 teams, right? Or just middle class. We go from Force India to Racing Point to Aston Martin. All of these three new teams, quote unquote, were just people buying out existing teams, firing a bunch of people, putting some new people in and using their existing facilities for the most part. Maybe building a new factory. Aston Martin at least built a new factory within a year or two of buying the team, right? I mean, okay, I guess there's an argument that they really made it their own, but still, the main thing is, you know, they're bypassing this ridiculous bidding process that Formula One management tries to make as impossible as they can by literally just buying out existing things and making it their own. Which it honestly, I think it takes a lot longer to take a failing F1 team and flip it around than it is to actually, you know, take your time and putting your bid together, taking several years like Andretti have to find the right people and not rush through things, then have to go through and do what other people are doing. And more importantly, there's room for 12 teams in this pit box, right? I mean, it wasn't even that long ago we used to have 12 teams or 11 teams or whatever it was. It just seems like F1 is just happy with where they're at, and they don't want any other players in there. They don't care about adding more competition to the sport. The money's coming in. They don't want to change anything. And if something's going to change their mind about it, it's got to mean a lot more money. And what maddens me so much is because of the fact they're getting all this extra money from the U.S. races, like I said, what better way to continue to promote that for the long term and not just have this be, you know, some kind of short-term fling from the Drive to Survive era, you know, than bringing in an actual American competitor that in the long term could compete for race wins and is well set up with good people with a lot of experience, a lot of financial backing, a lot of which is from American technology. And sponsors like GM, you know, bringing that in is the best way to make sure the success that they've been dying to get for the last 20 years before the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years is when it really came on strong in America. If you want this to be long-term, you bring in Andretti because Haas ain't going to do it, right? I'm wearing a Haas shirt right now. They just don't have the support and the right people in the right places to be able to make a win, even a podium team right now. Like if we got, you know, through any season within the next 3 years and we had a Haas podium, do you realize how on fire Twitter would be? Because it'd be so out of left field. So how do you think America feels to have their only team be basically from the start of every season on the back foot? The last report I saw was that Haas is not even concerned about pace going into testing so far, and that they're more focused on what the tires are going to do. They're trying to figure the tires out. So, look, has Haas made steps to like get more financial backing and whatnot? Yeah, you get the MoneyGram. That's great for them, but that stuff takes so much time to actually be implemented, right, and invested correctly. But also, they just don't have the right leadership. You know, and I don't think getting rid of Günther was I don't even know if it was the right move, but I know the problem wasn't just with Günther, right? You failed to be able to develop cars over the course of a season, pretty much since your existence, right? They usually just on a good season, they'll have a good car that's like a P5 to P8, you know, kind of car at the start of the season, and it slowly fades to P16 by halfway through the season every time. So it's just frustrating. We have a team. America has a team, but we don't have an actual player in the game, if that makes any sense. It's frustrating to me. I mean, on your side of things, what were your initial thoughts when you saw this bid declined?
My thought is I feel like they see it like they've already gotten the American consumer, and they don't need this. They're looking at it like, we do have an American F1 team. We've got races in America. Everybody in the US is now, not everybody, but most folks are familiar now with F1 a lot more than they were before because of the show on Netflix. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the best path forward, Haas, go hire Nick Saban. He's out. You know, he's not going to put up with this mediocre performance, okay? He's going to have those boys out there developing that car like you would not believe, brother. Mm-hmm. All right? Nobody's coming into work late. Nobody's going home early, okay? They are going to be out there running Oklahoma drills in the middle of that factory.
Freaking pushing sleds, bro.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be pushing the car. Okay. He's going to be like, if this car doesn't shave half a second, you're pushing around the track. All right. And I mean, it's championship time, you know, bring out the Dom Perignon. You know what I'm saying? If we get Nick Saban on the team.
Can you imagine what media, like F1 media would be like with a Nick Saban? Like, just imagine like the British media. Can you tell us anything about the car? We haven't heard any technical problems you've been having. Can you elaborate? I'm not going to tell you, so quit asking. Asking right now.
Roll Tide. I mean, go Haas. Yeah.
Now I've been running this program, okay? Anywho, yeah.
I think Haas's problem, it's a leadership thing, and you know, it starts at the top, and they need to – well, yeah, I mean, they have a lot of problems. They got money problems. They've got, like, they don't have the best drivers. They don't have the best of anything. And in Formula One, you have to have the best of everything if it's going to work. That's just how it is. If you have if you're second place in any one category, boom, you might as well be last place. So, yeah. And then, like I said, I think they just feel like they've already got the American consumer. And like you mentioned, they don't think that Andretti is going to bring as much to the sport as they'll bring to Andretti, which I agree with you. I think that's totally false. But, you know, I'm sure they've got some nerds back there punching the numbers, looking at it, going, yeah, according to my calculations, they're going to bring in this much money to us. They have this much viewership. We've got this, blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, I don't know. Who knows? I mean,
sadly, this comes to the point that like in regards to how Formula One management, because let's keep in mind for the viewer's sake, the FIA received four bids, or at least three, might have been four, but at least three bids for this same deal. Andretti was one of them. I believe there was a team from India that tried to get in. There was a team from China that was trying to get in. The only one that actually got the FIA's approval after ridiculous review, almost a year-long review, was Andretti. So you have three big players trying to come in and take one, if not two, new teams to the sport, right? Andretti's the only one that goes in. And the same criteria for what Formula One management has to look at is the same criteria FIA has to look at. So one of the things with the FIA approving this bid for Andretti was it basically gave grounds to where Formula One management declined their bid. It kind of gives them, in a way, from what I've heard, to be very expensive and probably pointless. But there is grounds for which Andretti could sue off of this. Mm. Like I said, would it be successful? Probably not. But, I mean, look, it comes down to the fact that it's so stupid that this basically shows that F1, the Formula One management, is more of a club than it is an actual sport. If it was a sport, then the competition would be what you would find as your direct equivalent, or at least one of your main factors to driving success and revenue, right? If the NFL has one team that continues to win literally every year, and there's no one else even close to them, right? Look, we went through the Patriots, right? We went through the early 2000 to literally 3 years ago or 4 years ago, Patriots, right? But still, there was a lot of people that won in between them. I mean, heck, freaking Eli Manning beat Tom Brady, okay? I mean, we have to acknowledge that. That happened, okay? No one would have thought it would happen beforehand before it happened, okay? But there was still, I mean, we had all kinds of people winning in between that. Formula One does not view it that way. Whenever there's any kind of dominance, it's actually business as usual for the sport. We haven't really had any kind of significant title fight between two different constructors since 2013 and 2021, and for half of 2022. Over these last 10 years, there hasn't been anything else. So really, over 10 years, we have 2.5 seasons, really. Yeah. There's some kind of back and forth between two cars for a potential championship with one of their drivers, right? Two different manufacturer teams. So it's obvious to F1. And look, I get with the new regulations, they've been doing a change of cars. They're doing some things, but it's not their most important thing to them. What's most important to them is this is more of a club. It's more of a elitist atmosphere, if you will, because of the fact that, I mean, look, what was the first journalist report we had to all listen to when this news broke? I mean, literally within minutes of this announcement, they have Martin Brundle on Sky Sports being interviewed. Oh, Martin, what do you think about this, Martin? Martin, what are your thoughts, Martin? And Martin's like, yeah, you know, if you want to join our club when the going's good, we don't want you. We just don't want you. You should have made your bid when it was bad. I'm like, okay, well, all the guys that joined when things were bad were making really cheap bids and you let them in. Let's not forget you let in Haas, whose sole reason for joining F1, believe it or not, on their application, like one of their main reasons was purely for advertisement, right? The definition of F1 is bringing more value to you than you are to them, right? Before that, let's not forget this. this is not known much at all by a lot of people. There was a bunch of shady people that put together what was originally, you know, it was accepted by the FIA. They were supposed to join the grid. This is like, I want to say 2009, give or take. There was supposed to be a team called USF1. And it's exactly how the name sounded. An American F1 team bringing in, hopefully, an American driver at some point. And it was supposed to be the launching point for bringing F1 back to America and making it prevalent again. And keep in mind, this had a lot of weight riding on it, because this was really towards the point where IndyCar and NASCAR had dominated the domestic market for America. F1 wasn't even a thought, right? And they let these guys in, prove their bid and everything, and they literally, there's reports that in their own factory, they were 3 weeks out or 5 or 6 weeks out from Bahrain, first race of the year, or testing or whatever, and these clowns did a show of hands in their own factory of who thinks we can be ready for round one, and no one raised their hand. So then they tried to delay it to be ready for round three. They didn't meet that either. Then FIA finally stepped in and decided to just eliminate them from the from competing, right? So look, you've let all these other different people in. You've half of your current grid is not automotive sponsors or developers. It's freaking crypto companies and other random Cash App, Visa, this other crap. It's like the current state of the teams and the, like, I'm not saying that the heart of the sport in regards to the competitiveness isn't in the right direction, but if you just look at where you follow where the money's going here, the elitist idea of F1 is really what dominates, and they believe this elitist and this pinnacle of motorsport approach is what's going to allow them to ride this all the way through and dominate the American market in promoting the sport. And it's not, if you want Americans to buy into this, your number one factor for advertisement needs to be competition, plain and simple. And Americans can only be a little bit wowed by this kind of elitist and pinnacle of motorsport and look at all this fancy stuff we got for a little bit. I mean, if they don't change how they approach this, and let people like Andretti in and start to get these other, you know, teams on the right track to where every year you're not just only looking at two teams that could potentially win races. Americans aren't going to hang around that much longer, or at least not a lot of them, right? You've already seen from 2021 to 2022, there was a dramatic decline halfway through the season when Red Bull started to dominate. The ratings were, you know, the ratings don't lie. So anywho, I feel like I've been freaking monologuing a lot of this, but you can tell I was freaking heated about this thing. So I should have put in our notes. This was going to be a 30-minute segment on its own. So prepare. anywho, so yeah, Formula One management treats this more like a club than they do a sport, and they're stupid. It's the last thing I have to say about it.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
So speaking of stupid, you want to look at some liveries for this season?
Sure. Yeah.
And what exactly we have going on here, because things are not, there's some that look all right, but others a little uninteresting.
Yeah. And there's some that look like a My Team car. We'll get into that as well. So I think we need to start with the guys who revealed their car first via JPG instead of an actual video or any kind of actual big launch thing, because their video did not work, believe it or not. And that is the Haas boys. And look, all I'll say is if I didn't know that from the start of, before I even saw the car, that there was going to be jokes about, you saw what Matt Gallagher posted on Twitter, where it was like, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you P10 and the constructors, never look better. And I was like, he's not wrong. I mean, we got guys, their own replacement for Günther Steiner is talking about how they're not going to be competitive off the bat. Like, well, if you can't develop a car and you can't do your usual strategy of just make the car good from the start and just ride it out as far as you can and don't do anything to it, then you're just going to suck the whole season. So as beautiful as this car looks, it'd look a lot better if I wasn't already depressed when looking at it. So look, I'm a diehard Haas fan, and it's for that reason that I'm talking so negative, because it can only go up, right? That's not true. But yeah, this is a solid 7 out of 10.
Okay, 7 out of 10. I don't think that's a terrible rating. I would give it a little bit lower, to be honest. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's kind of just right in the middle for me. It's kind of a 5. Mm. I'm kind of like, meh. You know, they don't have the best colors to work with, you know. But,
well, I tell you what, their best ever livery was, I believe, their 2017. I believe it was either 2017 or, let's see, I think it was 2017, where they had a Destroyer gray.
That's a good look.
That's a good look. And everyone's been calling for him to bring it back. That Destroyer gray just looked phenomenal.
Yeah, that's an aggressive looking car right there.
Bro, I mean, it was.
That's something I can get behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
That is what they need to bring back. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't a good looking one. And I, like I said, you can tell from my rating, I still like it. I think if anyone has like the black, white, and red approach, it is Haas. All the other people that are throwing in black to get the carbon deal are basically looking like Haas cars, pretty much, you know? So anywho, look, is it still a lot of black so that they can use, you know, exposed carbon fiber instead of painting the car and adding weight? Yes. But when Haas does it, it looks like a Haas car. So I give them a pass on it. That's my main thing. But yeah, so what was your actual number on it? Was it a 6 or a 5, a 2?
I give it a 5, middle of the road.
Yeah, it was fair.
Yeah.
Fair. I guess we want to go to Williams next.
That we want to go to just next. Fine. I like the Williams car this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad look.
I mean, they still have the signature Duracell at the top, right? Always a good looker right there. And I like that they're kind of going to this more like darker blue. Looks good. Mm-hmm. The only thing that would have been better is if they went with more of a powder blue approach. But then you're getting into more of the, hey, that's more petty blue, you know? So like someone else already kind of has a signature deal with that. I don't know. I think this looks very, very good for Williams. A little, you know, I like they took some of the bright orange out of it and made it a little bit less complex. It looks just a little more, I don't know. It just looks cleaner. It looks cleaner, less loud.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So I would agree with that.
I'm going 7 out of 10 as well for this one. I promise I'm going to change from here on out, but that's just how I honestly feel. It's nothing too special, but it's good. So it's not just like middle of the road. It's good. So
I would,
I
would say it's a 7 as well. I think that's a very accurate score on that one. Now,
go ahead.
I've got one that's a 10 out of 10 for me.
And which is that?
Well, it's a long team name. Okay. Yep. It's a long team name.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the acronym here.
Yep. Yep.
But it's going to be the Visa Cash App Red Bull Formula One team.
Yep.
I think that is an incredible looking car. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the red, white, and blue that's doing it for me.
Yep. Yep. It's American look in your veins.
Yeah. And I have
for me, Visa. It looks like a classic Toro Rosso. That's what I love about it. More importantly, they painted it. The standards are getting lower and lower for this year's cars. If you actually have paint on the car, just bravo.
Yeah.
Like, screw the design, just paint it. My goodness. We'll get into that more with pretty much the rest of the field. But the field.
Are you going 10 out of 10 on this as well, or are you – I'm guessing you're a little lower. 10's
– Oh, no. You know what? It would be a 10 out of 10, okay? But if you look at the side of the front wing where they have the stupid Cash App logo with the green, it pisses me off. Yep. And also from the front. So if you look at the front angle, on the top of the front wing, you have the Orlin. And then on the bottom of that – the back wing, you have Orlin, the Orlin logo, and then underneath that they stuck in a Cash App logo with, once again, the green square in there, and it's very non-symmetrical. Those are the only two things. Yeah. So to me, this reminds me, this is completely off topic with the sport, but this is very much like what if you've seen the Rockets new uniforms for the last 2 years, where it's all red and white and it all blends in and everything. And then they just have the stupid Credit Karma green logo. And you're like, what is going, why? Your eyes just go right to it every time. They took that off of one of their uniforms, but I think their away uniforms still have it on. Or is it their home ones? It's either the red or the white, but it's still left on. And it drives me bananas. I don't get when sponsors just refuse to try to blend in their logo to make the car look better and do crap like this.
So I think that's
for that reason. It's for that reason that it's a 9.5 for me.
I am going to also be lowering my score to a 9.5.
Dang it!
For the same reason.
You know, no, I hate to feel like I ruined it for you.
You did, because I'm going to be honest. I didn't see it. Okay, I didn't notice, and now I do. Now I do. You know what it looks like? It looks like they just got in, and we can move on to this now. It looks like they got in a little bit of a fender bender with the Kick Sauber
state
car is what happened. I think that's what happened there. And it does make sense, though, that they would want to have, because here's the thing. If you're Cash App and you toss your logo on that state car, no one's going to know.
Exactly.
No one's going to know. And so they looked at all the liveries. They said, who do we want to sponsor? That one.
Yep.
You're going to see the logo every time you look at the car. You almost see it more than you see the word Visa. Now that I know, you know, kind of interesting. Yeah. So what do you think about this? Stakes, not in the name of the team somehow, but state car.
Yeah. So when I initially saw it and I saw the bright green, I was like, wow, this is something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we got a new color, you know, like this bright, almost lime green, in here. And, you know, it looks at least 40% painted, you know, and not all carbon fiber. So compared to other teams that launched before them, I was like, thank God we've got some paint, you know, we've got some kind of unique design. We have something different. The standards are so low. The standards have never been lower for livery design. But the more I looked at it, just the more when you look at the design of how they lay everything out with this new green and everything, and with the logos and everything, the more it just looks like something off of an F1 2022 My Team car. You know, when you get to make your own car and design the livery in the F1 game, like, this looks like a level 2 car where you have two sponsors. Or actually, really, no, it legitimately looks like you just have one sponsor here, because the other sponsors are like 8-point font. So really, this looks like you just started out as a beginner team. Your only sponsor is Stake, and you put that on as many different spots of the car to make your car look like it has more sponsors than it does. And then, not to mention, I think it just looks a little not blocky. I don't know how to. Mainly when you go to the like behind the side pods, the way that's laid out, it looks like a Pac-Man walkway. If that makes any sense, the way they blocked it out like that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So
they didn't use the lines of the car very well with that.
Yeah, either. They didn't contour anything to it. You know, I don't know. So it's for that reason that, like, this is not bad, but it's not great. And I'm debating if it's good. So since I'm debating if it's good, I'm going to give it a 5.5 out of 10.
I think it's a good score. I'm going to go a little bit higher than that. I'm going to go with a 6, because I do like you were saying, how much they did paint it. I like the color. I think it's a good look. But yeah, a lot of points lost for, first of all, I can't find the word Stake or Sauber anywhere on it.
Yep.
Sauber.
Yep. Sauber.
So I feel misled.
Yep.
To be honest with you, I feel played.
Mm. Oh, wait, you talking about Kick? Because Stake's all over the car.
Oh, yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
See what I'm saying? Yep. I already think that the name is different. I can't keep it straight. How am I watching F1? How am I going to tell my wife, look for the Kick Sauber car? She's going to say, what, where? I see Williams, Stake, Ferrari, Mercedes. I see all these other. I don't see Kicks. I'm like, oh.
And you're going to be like, babe, there's no Stake racing. Stake's the one I'm eating right now because I'm an American.
Yeah. Stake, you know? Medium rare? What are we talking about here?
Exactly.
I say, no, it's the green car.
Exactly.
She says, oh, you Kick. She says, oh, the Kick Sauber. You mean the Stake car? Now she's trying to educate me.
Exactly. You know, you can't let the tables turn on you like that. You can't have it. Can't have it.
When the tables turn, your Stake's no longer in front of you.
Okay? And then the last thing you want is to turn the table. That's the last thing you want. And that's what's coming next. If you keep thinking that it's the kick team.
And yeah. You can't and now that it. I'm getting worked up, points off. It's
there you go. It's look, all they have for kick is a small little K on the little nose of the front wing in 0.8 font.
Yeah.
That's all they got.
And you know what? It's probably green.
It's actually black.
Okay.
So like that's... honestly, your eyes don't go to it at all.
Yeah, right.
Like if I was kick sponsoring this, I'd be kind of pissed. Like it's the Kick Sauber team, but you have one little K on there. Yeah. From what I see.
That's what you got. And they got the name on the uniform.
Let's not forget that like Steak is also kind of under some trouble here because of the fact that I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently in negotiations, Steak said to Sauber that they had a license for Sauber's headquarter territory, which is Switzerland, I believe, when in fact they don't. So for a while, they took Steak off of their website for logos, and they took it off of all their car graphic designs for a little bit. Because of the fact that they were like, why do you not have this licensing? Like, because it basically, if you don't have that licensing for their area, that you can get sued off of that. So they had a little oopsie. And I don't know if it got fully resolved. I haven't heard anything new about it yet. So, but I know it was a problem. So just all kinds of disorganization. And like this further points to my whole thing about, like, look at the sponsors that are running this stuff. You got all these freaking crypto guys. I don't even know what Stake does. Do you?
It's sports gambling and just gambling in general with crypto. You gamble with crypto.
That's the most current F1 sponsor I've heard of in my life. Gambling and crypto. Like,
it's a combination. It's the intersection of the two.
Bro, Dana White and Trevor Wallace, putting their heads together, could not come up with a better sponsor for anything than that. Like, my goodness. Like, these are the kind of companies that are fueling the sport right now. And it's just a further showing of the short-term wave that they're getting, that they're not necessarily taking any steps to actually make sure the guys that are in the sport are actually contributing and adding value and getting the right people to invest. Because, I mean, when Rich Energy had their issue with Haas, you would have thought everything was an utter downfall. And it set Haas back for years. Let's not forget that. So you think of all these teams like what Alfa Romeo, you know, Sauber, but it was Alfa Romeo for the last couple of years. And Williams and Haas and, you know, AlphaTauri, these teams that just can't break the mold to be in the top five or top 10 consistently. It's for stuff like this, bringing in the wrong people that are there for a good time, not a long time, and not making the right routes. So I don't know if this team in general is going in the right direction, but they painted their car more than half the rest of the field. So got to tip my cap to them. Make sure those checks don't bounce. So, okay. So who's next?
So Steak car,
yep.
Poor contouring with the design.
Correct.
A car that is contoured very nicely while having a lack of paint.
Mm-hmm.
McLaren.
Oh, yep. Yep.
I agree. I love the side pod design with the way they've got it kind of swooping down there.
It reminds me of Aston Martin's initial side pod design from 2022 on the back end, I think. And also some of last year, I think they kind of had that design. I think that's where I first saw it.
I don't think this is too far off from McLaren's previous designs.
Yeah. I know McLaren had something similar to this. I mean, and obviously this is all kind of a branch off of Red Bull's initial design from 2022 and 2023 to some degree. Mm-hmm. A lot of the field is copying Red Bull's, not copying, but trying to go off the same principles of design as what Red Bull went with 2022 and 2023, which the funny part is that Red Bull didn't do that for this year, which is just way too freaking hilarious. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, the car looks good. They had a good launch for it as well. I will say McLaren's IndyCar liveries are absolute gas compared to this.
Really?
I mean, they blew it out of the water. Rossi's car was fantastic. Pato O'Ward's car was good as well. So not to jump into that too much, but this one's good for me. This is a solid like 8 out of 10. Obviously, it's still with the trend of putting in a lot of black and putting all these cars on dark mode for the sake of saving, I don't know how little weight, but whatever. Exposed paint's carbon heavy, everywhere.
Paint's heavy.
But, you ever cared about the paint? If only at the FIA would just say, all right, everyone paint your freaking cars so our fans can not watch a bunch of exposed carbon fly around the track and not be able to differentiate who's who. That'd be nice. So if you just put a mandate saying you have to paint everything on your car, solves a freaking problem. Or at least a certain percentage. I don't know. Because these cars used to be a lot worse.
Amount of paint. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, they're looking for every edge possible and they're thinking, hey, paint less, drive faster.
Look, I don't blame them for doing it. I'm just blaming the FIA for not saying, paint your freaking cars, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. So, anywho, they did a solid job, even though they put in I think it's 50-50 paint and carbon. It might be even a little less. Like they just did it well. I'm cool with it. I think we'll give it a 7.5 or 8 out of 10. It's still not in my upper echelon. That's near perfection, like the V carb, but it's up there. It's better than the rest of the field, I think, in regards to have this kind of, you know, carbon with a splash of paint kind of look.
I'll give it a 7. I would have liked to have seen more blue.
That's a fair point.
I think they could have put more blue, and I'll leave it at that. More blue next year, fellas. A team that's got a good amount of that's not blue. Aston Martin. They got a good amount of color. They painted.
Props to them.
Yeah, they painted.
And there's not much different to it. There's some slight changes in regards to this year's Aston Martin than the last. But look, with Aston Martin, I mean, look, as long as you give me that beautiful British racing green, I don't care what else you do to it, except for their first year where they had to freaking throw in the BWT pink in highlights there. And I didn't like how that meshed. It still looked good, just not as like I was expecting that car to be like it is now. And they instead all where you see all the little like almost neon bright green highlights, it was that pink, because BWT just can't stand to have any other representation than putting pink on people's cars and being known for doing that. They're stupid. That's all I have to say about that. Anywho, as long as they keep rolling out this British racing green with these neon green highlights or whatever, it's just always a chef's kiss, you know, for me. Once I heard Aston Martin was making their own team, basically something like this was my first thought of how it should look like. The only thing I'd like to see different is I wish there was a way. I know you have to put a Ramco on the rear wing. I know they're limited in what they can do design-wise because of the fact that you have to have your sponsorship of someone like a Ramco in one of the largest spots to put them. So I get it. It's going to go on the rear wing. But if you can recall when Aston Martin used to be the title sponsor for Red Bull, and you had the Aston Martin Wings logo on the rear wing.
Oh, just, that was a good look.
That's the last thing. That's the only thing I can ask for. Daddy Stroll, can you please bring – I don't care if you got to put a Ramco over it. Can we get the Aston Martin Wings logo on the rear wing of this masterpiece? And it will be a 12 out of 10. But because not – and because of, you know, the pretty much kind of the lack of change, they really – the only thing they changed was just how they approached – blending in the green paint to the side pods and leaving some exposed carbon there. So it looks like there's a little bit less paint from the front instead of a little less paint from the side. It's just a different approach. To me, this is an 8.5 out of 10. Really, really good. I'd say even though they didn't make a lot of major changes, this, like I said, the standards are so low this year. They painted it. And a good chunk of it.
I'd say 7.5. I would agree with a lot of the things you said. I would also have loved to have seen a little wing on wing. I think that'd be incredible. And yeah, I think some changes would have been nice, but like you said, they did paint, which is important.
Yep.
Another team you mentioned there, Alpine. It seems like they put less paint this year.
Oh, how could you tell? Was it the fact that there was less paint?
There's less paint, yeah. And that just really jumped out. Well, it was less pink, is what I'd say. Less pink paint.
Oh, I thought you said paint just in general. Yeah. Or did you?
No, both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, less paint, less pink.
Yeah.
Which it's not terrible.
Yeah. No, I mean, it doesn't look bad, but it's the fact that this is a team that when they entered in 2021, you remember that 2021 livery where they did have black, but I mean, man, they had a really nice looking blue, red, and black and white kind of going thing. Like they incorporated kind of the French flag in their design in that kind of like 30 degree angle trifecta, if you remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the best looking cars in 2021. And then they bring in BWT, and BWT is like, we do what we do. We make cars pink. And it's just, you know, 2021 was like chef's kiss. And now it's, oh, well, 2022 onwards is like, oh, that's where the pink, you know, the pink guys went. They went from Aston Martin to this team, and now they're making this car pink, you know. And it was like, all right, now we have to deal with another, you know, BWT making this thing pink and taking away that beautiful design. That was already bad enough. It still looked okay. I would even say in some instances good. And then now they're doing what the rest of the grid, not all of them, but a majority of the rest of the grid are doing, where, all right, how can we make this basically exposed carbon with the least amount of paint possible? We put it in the places to make it look like there's more paint on the car than there actually is from the right angle. So when you look at it from the front, it looks like there's more paint there. When you look at it from the side at a completely perfect 90 degree angle, it looks like it's more full of a paint, you know, paint scheme than it really is. Like when you truly look at how much of this car is painted, it is literally just like, I mean, just imagine a very, very underseasoned white chicken breast, right? Where like the person who made it believes that salt counts as a seasoning. You know what I'm talking about? That's basically what that's how they approached putting paint on this car, right? So it's not that the thing altogether looks bad. It's just when you look at this is the, if someone told me what's your problem with current F1 schemes in regards to liveries right now and the direction that F1's headed, I would show them this.
Really? Wow.
And I would show them the contrast between 2021 and now, when you had that beautiful red, blue, and white, and black scheme that was signature to Alpine, and now they've cashed out to get money from BWT, so their freaking car is pink because that's just what BWT does, and now they're, you know, one of the many exposed carbon teams. So,
well, I think we have the most exposed carbon in Mercedes.
That is a fair point. But
the silver arrows are, well, not very silver and very carbon. But
they brought the silver back, though. They brought the silver back. And this is the team that had the all black look last year that looked phenomenal, right? I know it's a little bit hypocritical because last year they were all black and everyone lost their minds, right?
Yeah.
But there were sections of actual black paint on that car and not just exposed carbon. It wasn't literally just a walking piece of exposed carbon in the shape of a Formula One car. There was black paint on it in certain areas. I really like the blending between the silver and black on this one. And you can see the way it kind of fades out in the end, that there's more paint on this car than meets the eye. Especially when you look at the side angle, you see how it kind of fades and you have the Mercedes logos on the back of it. You know, obviously there's on the back end of that's going to be a good chunk of exposed carbon, but there's more paint on this than, you know, one may think, right? But especially from the front, you know, I mean, this is still way more paint than I'd say four teams of
so we have here. You're not just going for they need color. You're looking for straight up paint quantity.
We talk about that paint, baby.
Okay. Okay.
But right. look, I guess here's what it comes to. Like. If you compare this to the Alpine for the extreme example, right? When I look at this design, Mercedes has had this black scheme incorporated for the last several years, right? 2020 or 2021 or whatever it was when they had that all black design, it was awesome. And it was actual black paint. But more importantly, Mercedes was kind of the first team since the Haas Rich Energy kind of deal, which was a joke, to really make that all black scheme look great. And they made it look fantastic. Using black as a primary color in some of their designs was kind of Mercedes' thing before a lot of other people, right? In regards to the recent years. So for me, Mercedes is one of those teams that they can get away with putting more black into their car. One, because a lot more of it's actual paint than people think, but also because of the fact that when I think of Mercedes over the last 5 years, having a lot of black in their designs is kind of signature to them. They were doing this before the exposed carbon thing was this big of a factor. And more importantly, if I showed you a side by side of this with the Alpine, right? The current Merc for this year and the Alpine, which one is the one that actually screams we are trying to just go for carbon with a splash of paint, right? It's not the Merc. The Merc looks like someone actually took time to design this livery, right? And it looks like, you know, an attempt was made at making sure that the colors that they want to represent their brand are there, and that the colors that are signature to the brand over the recent years are there. With Alpine, there is no signature color for the last couple of years because they had it in 2021 for 1 year, and then it's gone so they could sell out for BWT and take their money and make their car pink. And then this year, they're on their third year of doing that, and now they're selling out for the exposed carbon thing. I guess not selling out, but just they're doing that whole thing. So it's like there's two just already things you can point out in Alpine's livery. It's like, oh well, this is a gimmick. That's the word. There's two gimmicks in their design. With the Mercedes, there's no gimmicks to it. Like, obviously there's going to be parts of exposed carbon where you see the black, right? But like, in regards to incorporating black in their design, that's not a gimmick for Mercedes. That is Mercedes from the last couple of years, if that makes any sense. I don't know if I'm making sense, but yeah. Mercedes has more of a right to make this work than other teams.
Yeah, I think that's valid. I agree. I think Mercedes' car looks like a stealth bomber.
It does.
With a little splash of little green coming along there.
Look, this car is coming after that oil. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And the fact you have Ineos on the top of it is very fitting for a stealth.
Yeah. I will say this. If I were to take the color scheme and kind of the vibe of any of these cars and have to put it on my actual car, it would be the Mercedes.
Yeah.
So I think that deserves, gosh, at least like a 9.5, maybe a 9.8.
Yeah, for me it's a solid 9. And look, yeah. Do you realize how difficult it is for me to say everything I just said about Mercedes that was all nice, right?
That's true.
Like, you know me, I'm the CEO of hating Mercedes.
Yeah.
So the standards really have to be low if I'm giving Mercedes this high a score and going into detail about why their livery is better than half the grid.
Yeah. I mean,
these
teams need to understand if they want you as a fan, it has nothing to do with performance. It has 100% to do with paint quantity used. And that's just how it is. So,
well, and like I said, like, I don't even blame the teams on them doing this, because especially if I was a midfield team struggling to get in the top 10 and get points, I would freaking do anything possible. I mean, if I was Haas, I would roll an all black livery with, it would literally be all exposed carbon with some white stickers on it. And I say, we are showing up to Bahrain like this. Anything I can do to get my car closer to the front, right? So the FIA needs to do what they're supposed to do and say, cut the BS. you have to paint everything on your car, or at least have 90% paint and only 10% exposed carbon. So that way no one has an advantage. Just take the advantage out of the equation so that these teams actually get to create unique and iconic liveries that will promote the sport better. Simple as that.
See, I think if it was my team, I'd take the opposite approach. I'd go, you know what? We're in last place anyways.
Might as well look good doing it.
Let's go wild on the look of this car, and we're going merch sales from here on out. It's about pushing t-shirts. It's about hats. Okay, I'm talking pants.
So basically AlphaTauri.
Yeah.
Literally, it's a clothing brand. I mean, that's kind of what they were doing.
Yeah. And, you know, the car, it's a good look. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think you know, because, like, here's the thing. If you want people to look at your car, you do two things. You either put it at the front of the pack and win, or
you put it in the wall.
You put it. Hey.
When Romain Grosjean did that, a lot of people were looking when
trying to. The Williams got a lot of attention last year.
So did the Haas.
And I'm just. Yeah. I'm just saying. The mid-pack cars didn't get looked at a whole lot. But first and last, boy, we were glassing those puppies up. Okay. Watching the replay over and over. We might be onto something there. You watch the replays.
I think we discovered a major conspiracy here.
You watch the replays of the crashes.
Yep.
Not of the finish.
Yep. So what I'm hearing was Romain Grosjean into the wall at 100 whatever miles an hour was an inside job.
No, that was too much. Okay. See what he did there. He totally messed it up. You cannot have the car catch on fire. You can't see it. Okay. He took it too far.
We were watching the replay in slow motion of it going into the wall. So for that brief time period where it was in slow motion before it hit the wall, we're all seeing the logos and then we're seeing everything on fire. It looked like napalm at one point.
This is true. I would give, as far as like advertising ploy goes with that wreck, I would give it an 8 out of 10. Had he been able to get the car crashed in such a way that maybe the side pod came off and was right outside the fire, sort of advertising in front, okay, so that the viral photo going around had some kind of advertising in it, he would have been a 10.
Just imagine like he slams into the wall, giant explosion. It looks like he's dead, because that's what it looked like on live TV.
That's what
as they look at the slow motion, just a little piece of debris falls, lands right in front of the camera, and it says
precisely.
It says Oakberry right there, and that's the slow motion replay. If I'm Oakberry, I'm like,
and that's the photo we circulate. That's the one. That's the one that goes.
Look fire, at us, guys. We're viral.
Logo. And then maybe you get the shot whenever he comes out of the fire and he's emerging. You got the logo. That would have been 10 out of 10 marketing right there.
Yeah, that is 10 out of 10 because you have the crash that gets replayed. So you crash get all replay. The replay of the car going into the crash. The crash happens. Then let's say it's Oakberry or whatever, you know, a sponsor, whatever few sponsors of Haas are on that car. You know, piece of debris with Oakberry on it lands right in front of the camera as the review is going. Everyone's shocked because they think he died. So everyone's paying really close attention. The Oakberry logo's in the way. You know, they're looking at that. Like, okay, maybe go buy some yogurt or whatever they make. I think it's yogurt. Obviously what you do next. Who cares if he's alive? But at the same time, you have the benefactor of you get to see him climb out heroically from that fire and be the BA person that he is. So then on top of that, you have the closer of, oh, look, he's actually not dead. Like literally every single person that watched that thought he was at the first live viewing of it. So it's just a complete that's sales, baby. That's sales, baby.
That's sales. I mean, at that point, you know, you're closing deals left and right. Okay.
I mean,
commission out the
pens are clicking,
but
POs are getting filled out, you know, invoices.
You're re-inking, you know what I'm saying?
You're going to have to wet that quill, baby. You have to wet that quill, you know.
They're going to go through and they're going to be looking at the end of the quarter and they're going to go $10 million at Office Depot. I'm like, yeah, yep. We had to buy more pens, dude. Signing deals like you would not believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And let's not even started about the printer paper sales. It could be a DocuSign. So,
I mean, you know, if we're really trying to cut costs, and this is getting into the weeds.
Yeah.
Okay. It's DocuSign.
DocuSign. Yeah, that's for point.
You send it from.
Glad we got phone. Ahead of that.
Yeah. Who's? When's the last time? Actually, I signed on a piece of paper today. I will say. So I can't say when's the last time you signed, but
why'd you have to be honest on this show, dude? Like, come on.
I didn't mean it. I'm just saying.
Dad, come in.
Jeez.
Well, speaking of sales, who's next on our list? Because I'm pretty sure from who we have left, there's going to be, well, with the exception of one team, there's going to be a lot of sales for either their diecast cars or their team merch. It's a 50-50 shot.
We got Red Bull and Ferrari. Okay, not well, let's very go with, changed.
Let's go with the one that did not change at all.
Yeah.
And that'd be Red Bull, right? So,
you know, they won with it. Why change it? They're not trying to win a beauty contest. They don't win.
The weird thing is with how bad some of the other liveries are, they're still kind of close to the top. I mean, for me, they're a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
And if this was in taking the last 10 years of bias out of this, if I saw this for the first time, I'd be like, that's a freaking great looking race car. Mm. Right. I get they're kind of going for an Alabama uniform approach, right? They know they're limited to what their sponsors are, right? They know that they have to put all these sponsors in these certain places, and they can't change that much, right? Mm-hmm. They can't take the Oracle logo off the side pod, right? They can't take the BYBT logo off the rear wing. They can't do the Red Bull Bull logo has to be in that spot and only that spot and only that design because this is stuff that is just unchangeable, right? So there's only so much they can do. And they don't want to change the primary color of the car to a white or something like that for whatever reason, which everyone's been
that would be before. Sick.
And they've done it before as a one-off, and it was molto bella. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to do it. So, but with all of that in mind, if I saw this for the first time, it's great. Great, great job, right? Right? Like this is a design they nailed. They're just running into the ground. Yeah. But they're trying to. It's almost like they're trying to make it an Alabama Crimson Tide uniform or a Penn State uniform to where you go, oh, when I see this, I think this team.
It's the same every year.
It's a traditional, a jersey I buy 10 years ago is going to be applicable now. Same kind of deal.
Yeah. It's not your Oregon Ducks. Okay. Yeah.
New uniform every hour.
Right. But they win. And for that, it's hard to knock them. You know what they're doing? They're looking at all these other teams that are getting, a little creative each year. And they're going, guys, you do realize that to win, you have to be fast. Why don't you, what is it that he says? Go fix your car.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
A little bit different diction. I was paraphrasing. Yes, obviously. Okay. Yes.
Think of the children. Yeah. And they said, oh, fix the car. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Let me get my paintbrush.
Yep.
And Christian says, no. Paintbrush.
Yep.
Paintbrush. What's a paintbrush?
He's like, we fired our graphic designer after 2010. We asked them to design a good-looking car. They did it in 2012 or 2010, and then we fired them. The job was done. Job's finished.
Yeah. They went into paint.net. Yep. That's the only paint I know. And they put the logos on the car, and we said, oh, my gosh, it's perfect. It's exactly what we were looking for.
Yep.
A Red Bull can.
Yep.
With a couple other words on it.
Yep.
And it wins.
Yep. 100%.
Now, there's another team here similar to Crimson Tide. Mm-hmm. They're red or
scarlet. It's a scarlet, scarlet, yes. Sir. It's a scarlet. You know, this is history. This is tradition. Okay. This is the pinnacle of motorsport. You cannot take a historic name like Ferrari and tarnish it with saying red. It is scarlet.
If they want to not be tarnished, they need to win a little. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
The Ferrari. Yeah, the Ferrari, fantastic.
That's good.
I think it's my favorite of the liveries, to be quite honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it's my favorite for this year. I think my favorite over the last 3 years is still Aston Martin, just because, like, that's one of my favorite, like, liveries in general, is putting that British Racing Green on there. But okay. For this year, you know, Ferrari absolutely nailed it. I like the addition of a little bit of yellow, not too much yellow, but just a little bit. This was to commemorate their win in the 24 Hours of Le Mans with their hypercars, to my knowledge. But they still didn't stray away too much from who they are, right? So they didn't go too crazy. They didn't do like they did in, was it 2021? Yeah, I think it was 2021 where they had a beautiful red car for the first 80%, right? And then you get to the rear wing and the back end of the body, and it just went to a turd brown. I don't know if you remember this or not. And then they had on the very top of it where the camera mount is, they had a little green stem there. It was to advertise a tobacco company, I believe. And it was like a bright green or something like that. And that, without a doubt, was the worst Ferrari livery I'd ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think it is for sure the worst Ferrari livery ever. Because of the fact that when you have that little green piece at the top that looks like a tomato stem, and then you have this red fade into turd brown at the end, it looked like freaking Bob the Tomato from VeggieTales got beat up at the back alley and then pooped his pants afterwards. Like, that's what it looked like. There's no way around it. Like, you look at that, that's what I envisioned. It looked like he got into a street fight, looked like he owed someone money and got scared so bad that he sold himself and then was left there. And then got turned into a race car somehow. I don't know. Look, it's late. Brain's going a little bit wild here, but like I stand by my words. Okay. I said that in 2021. I have the texts from Instagram for me texting my boy Chance Miller, shout out. I can bring them up. It would take me 3 hours to scroll to bring them up, but I have them. Okay. I do have them. You know, I'm saying the same thing I said then. So that was the worst Ferrari livery of all time. That was the bar lowered. This is the bar raised. This is very, very good. They did fool us though, because they put out a video saying that the rear wing was white. If you remember,
I would have preferred that. I think a little more white would look good.
I agree.
I'm not too much of a fan of the wheels. I think they could have thrown some color there.
You don't like the red wheels?
What wheels are you looking at?
I mean, talking about the red trim on the wheels.
I don't see any red
trim. It's red with a yellow highlight.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I got the wrong photo. Maybe I do like the wheels then. Hang on.
I hope we're looking at the same one.
Somebody's got the wrong car. Oh. I found it.
There we go.
Yeah. That looks good. That looks much better than the one that I saw.
Was it like last year's you were looking at or what?
I guess so. That's odd. That's very odd. Huh.
But yeah, okay, the Italians, I think they got it right with this one. Yeah. I'm going 10 out of 10. What's your rating?
Well, the one that I saw before was like a 5.
Ah.
Meh.
Yep. Which for Italians, when they're with their cars, a 5 out of 10 is garbage by their standards. So yeah. Hopefully it's a little better than that, at least a little bit. Or I'm gonna have some very angry Italian friends of mine hitting me up in my DM saying, "Who is this guy talking about this being a 5 out of 10?"
Now that I'm seeing what I believe to be the correct vehicle,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I give it a 9.
Solid.
I'm much happier solid with this. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good look.
Yep. Yep. I don't even remember if I actually rated the Alpine car, but I just want to go on record of saying that's a solid 3 out of 10. Wow. I think I was too busy trash talking it to actually give it an actual number. But you, I want to go out of my way to bring it up just to say it is a 3 out of 10 for those that were wondering.
Do you want to give it a number? You could leave it blank.
Yeah, you know what? I'll leave it blank because no, I'm kidding. It's a 3 out of 10.
Okay. All right. 3 out of 10.
It's a 3 out of 10 for me. Right. So yeah, that completes the whole lineup. So yeah, I think the Ferrari and the V carb get the highest scores from us, with Alpine I think getting the worst from us. And yeah, I mean, look, all in all, we're always happy to see new designs, but we just want to see them painted. The standards are so low. Paint your car, you know. Mm-hmm. That's all we can ask. But yeah, I guess to close out with a little bit of early news from the first round of the first day, and maybe day and a half at this point of the time we're recording. By the time this is posted, it's probably going to be 2 or 3 days into testing. Maybe testing's even over. Depends on how soon I get this out. The early testing reports I'm hearing right now is that, you know, if you go back to that Red Bull, everyone was freaking out about not the livery when it got released, but the actual design, the vertical inlets. They're even talking about a zero side pod design. The memes were going all over the place on Twitter about Adrian Newey ripping another line of cocaine and just going, "I can fix her." You know, when looking at the Mercedes zero side pod design with the vertical inlets that they abandoned last year because of that whole false data thing. And Red Bull just said, you know what? We got, you know, 2 championships with this car. And, you know, we could just put literally zero effort in and go after this championship once again and probably still win it. But you know what? We're bored. You know, this money's not going to spend itself, you know. We have a reputation to uphold of spending all of our budget, and sometimes a little bit more than we should have. Okay. A little more. Just catering. It was catering. Okay. Let's not forget it was catering. I swear. I'm reading a quote from Horner. It's Christian Horner said, "It was catering. I swear. Please don't ask me about it again." Anywho. They look really good. There's no way around it. I mean, they have this new design that people were like, are they act like, you know how much of a slap in the face it would be to Mercedes to take the design that they failed to make work and be like, "We'll show you how it's done. You had the right idea. You just didn't do it right, kid. Watch this. Let Adrian Newey cook." Okay. You know, so that's going to be fun to see if it actually works. And imagine it, they said for 3 races they want to run the zero side pod design because it'd be adequate for that track, is what they're hearing, if things continue to go well. So just imagine if they go with the zero side pod design and make that thing work.
Is there anything wild? Yeah, is there anything against them changing designs? Like with how you only can change so many parts out during the season? Is there a
side? You just gotta stay in budget.
Nope. Okay, so there's not like you only get 10 side pods or 5 side pods.
I mean, I don't believe
if you start out with none, then
the main component restrictions are for the combustion pieces, okay, right? With your power unit. That's the main thing, in the transmission as well.
And steering wheels, apparently.
I guess. I think everything else, because of the fact that it can be subject to, you know, possibly more minor damage. I don't know. I haven't seen as much. I haven't seen any kind of penalties given out for replacing a side pod. So, and if you think about the course of a season, like if you look at like a McLaren or like Aston Martin, through several of their seasons the last 3 years, in the process of trying to find the right design, Mercedes did the same thing last year too. They'll go through two or three different approaches to side pods or, you know, just aero designs as they roll out upgrades throughout the season. So there's nothing stopping from Red Bull from switching side pod designs midseason as long as they fit budget.
I see. So
it's not a part of the power unit, you know, or the transmission or anything like that. So you got to worry about that. So, or the energy store, you know, anything like that. So those are usually the parts that are under the mandated five or whatever parts a year. So should be no problem there. So yeah, Red Bull looking really comfortable. I think they were a second or 1.2 seconds ahead of the fastest lap time and had a lot of mileage logged as well. So no reliability issues. Max, particularly driving for the first half, looked a little shaky on the first couple laps and then just got dialed. He just went wide a couple of times in the first couple laps and then made some adjustments solid the rest of the day. McLaren and Aston Martin, they look to be right below Red Bull and looking pretty good. Also got a decent amount of mileage. And that's the really the key with testing is you could put down some fast laps, but if you're only getting like 50 to 60 miles every day, or I'm sorry, 50 to 60 laps every day, you're not getting enough data to actually see if your designs are going to work under race conditions, or at least as much as you really could use. So the guys that are like in Williams' position today, they had a lot of reliability issues, and I think they got less than 60 laps in, which is not good for testing. That's going to serve a problem. I don't know about Haas's reliability issues, but I do know that Haas was being Haas. In the fact that they were, you know, of the 10 drivers that were driving today for the first practice session, of course, Kevin's at the very bottom. So, you know, just completely off the pace. They're not even concerned about being at the top of the timesheets right now. They're trying to make sure their car's not going to fall apart and that apparently they need to look at how the tires are going to work. So that's...
It's always good to know how tires work.
Science says that the tires are supposed to be what contacts the surface of whatever your car is racing on and occasionally provide traction for which to actually drive your car off of and translate that force of RPMs to actual movement in the form of velocity, right? Some say that's kind of the whole premise of tires per se. Now, someone like Haas, you know, they could be exploring a different method of using tires. Maybe, you know, they're looking at levitation per se, or maybe they're using tires for advertising, you know, and taking that approach. I don't know. I'm excited to see how they actually plan to move their car forward.
I will say Haas has a tendency to make contact with parts of the car that aren't the tires.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And, you know, maybe they're kind of going back to square one of being like, okay, let's redo our approach here.
Yep.
Where is the best contact point on the car? Is it the tires? Is it really?
No.
We've tried other portions.
They certainly have.
Little DNF.
Yep.
DNF.
Yep.
That's what you get there.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So they found out they found out through their data upon multiple trials that the front wing is not a good source of traction to use for propelling your car forward. So I hopefully the front wing has been eliminated for potential candidates to replace the tires if the tires don't work.
Right. But hopefully they didn't read that memo wrong and go, oh, eliminate the front wing? Okay.
They're going to go a step further. Like, hey, Merc, hey, Red Bull, you said zero side pods? I say zero wings, baby.
Zero wing. Do we leave it at that?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to wear my Haas polo tonight because this is the most optimistic I'm going to be about Haas this season. Okay. I think, unfortunately, I feel like once the season starts and those Twitter memes start piling up and I'm just kind of sitting there like that Wolverine meme, you know, where he's looking at the picture and I'm just thinking about Andretti, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if I'll be able to put this polo on again, but who knows? I mean, it's F1. I mean, something crazy can happen. They can come out and get a freaking P9 on the first race, and I'm all of a sudden going, America! Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, I just have a bad feeling this is the most optimistic I could be about Haas, and I've been pretty dadgum negative. I'm usually the Haas optimist over here. So, yeah.
Which it's hard to be, but you've pulled it out.
People get on me for being, you know, still a diehard Max fan as well. I'm like, look, it offsets, dude. I'm diehard Haas fan as well. I am the best and worst of both worlds when it comes to the competitive spectrum. So you can't tell me I'm a 2%er or anything like that, or any kind of bandwagon fan. Mm-hmm. Like I put up with this. I put up with this. Okay. I willingly support this. I wouldn't say approve of, but I support this. So, you know, it's not made for everybody. I mean, a lot of mental therapy sessions are starting to stack up from being a Malcolm Stewart fan in Supercross, along with Chase Sexton, and then now Haas. You know, and let's not forget the first early years of Max Verstappen, you know, especially 2020 and 2021, how much mental toll that took.
Yeah, it wasn't always winning.
Yeah, and even when he did start putting out wins in 2021, I don't know about you, anyone that was a diehard Max fan in 2021 with that championship played out was electrified, but also pulling their hair out with how tight it got. I mean, I was stressed as crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, stressed like crazy. It was ridiculous. So, like I said, I've done my time, and despite that, I'm still doing time. It's like a willing prison when it comes to being a Haas fan. Like, it's just like, all right, you're done. No, I'm not.
For a while, I feel like.
Yeah. But so we'll it's a little bit of a toxic relationship, as some would say. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But yeah, as much of an acid trip as the last 45 minutes of this podcast has been, that's going to wrap this one up. And that's the best preview we're going to be able to give you guys for the season. We'll be back next week. Coming back from the road on a squad trip over to see the Dallas Supercross race. It's going to be awesome. And we'll come back with a race recap next week on that. And hopefully some cool stories from, being at the race and getting to go, hopefully meet some people, go see everything up close, see the bikes up close, see some of the new bikes up close. We're going to have Triumph and Beta there to go see in person, make some notes on that. And, all that good stuff. And then, the following weekend will be Bahrain, and then we'll come back, come back with a F1 race recap, all the good stuff. And we're going to be full swing on the motorsports stuff from here, here on forward. So it doesn't even feel like that long until we get the Indy 500, and Daytona was last weekend. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I almost had the All American Grand Slam of, if it weren't for the rain delay, I would have been at home, on Sunday, went to church, came back. My itinerary was watch the Daytona 500 while cleaning my shotgun and drinking a Dr. Pepper. It doesn't get more American than that, other than making that's an apple pie at the end of it. You know, it was a perfect schedule. And my wife was going to be taking her post-church nap while this was going on. So it just seamless, right? And then it had to rain and delay. So I had to watch the race while not cleaning my shotgun because my shotgun couldn't wait. You know, I had to get it in good condition. So, anywho, so it wasn't the All American Grand Slam that I hoped it would be, but beggars can't be choosers. You know, when the rain delays stuff, you're just happy for a race. You know,
yeah.
Anywho, all right. So we'll see you guys in a week. We'll be back, talk about Dallas Supercross. And thanks for listening, those of y'all that made it this far. And looking forward to talking more some more F1 after Bahrain. So we'll see you guys then. So signing off. Peace.
Adios.